would I taste it?
If it's rotten, why would I want to taste it?
I don't think it is. It has a weird taste.
Okay, that's the taste of something being rotten.
Ugh.
I don't think coffee make goes bad.
Oh, it says it doesn't expire until January.
Yeah, but coffee mate doesn't really expire. It's like beer. You know, beer doesn't really expire.
It tastes funny.
Are you sure it's the coffee mate? Maybe it's a dirty cup.
No, I've been drinking out of this cup all day.
Maybe it's the coffee. Did you switch coffee pots?
No.
Maybe this coffee pot, maybe,
No, it's the same coffee.
Okay.
Will you taste it?
No. And we're back at the beginning. If you're drinking something that tastes rotten, A, why would you... Why do you need confirmation that it tastes bad? What if I drink it and it tastes fantastic to me?
Maybe it is the eggnog flavor and I'm just overreacting.
I'm just saying, what if I drank it and it tasted fine? Would you continue to drink it?
I would not.
So really, you're...
But I want you to have this horrible taste in your mouth,
so it's
too.
Just punitive. There's really no reason for me to drink it because you're not going to drink it anymore anyway. It's just because you want to punish me.
No, I kind of like for you to taste it to see whether or not I'm overreacting, if it's actually rotting or not.
I'm sure it is. Does it smell like it's rotting?
No, it smells good.
Does it taste like it's rotting?
It tastes funny.
But does it taste bad?
It tastes kind of, I don't know, I can't really describe it. It tastes, that's why I want you to taste it.
Is it more like rotten eggs or more like an ashtray?
No, it doesn't taste like rotten eggs. It tastes like
rotten
milk? Something's a little off.
Does it taste bad?
Yeah, I'd say bad.
Well, there you go. It's gone. Well, let me see the Coffee Mate.
Okay.
Because I don't think Coffee Mate ever goes bad. I think they may say that, but that's just a marketing. That's just pillow talk, baby. That's just a marketing tool to get you to buy more.
And if you smell it, it smells really good.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. Well, see, because it's eggnog. I don't like eggnog anyway. I know that I'm supposed to, and it makes me a heathen. I'm not really down with eggnog. I'm not down with that. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from Los Angeles, CNN radio correspondent to the stars, Jim Rowe. What's up? Brother man, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you very much.
All right. Well, let's read this list of ingredients. Coffee Mate, which you believe has gone bad, Sarah. Ingredients, water, doesn't go bad. Sugar, doesn't go bad. Partially hydrogenated soybean and or cottonseed oil, doesn't go bad. Natural and artificial flavor, doesn't go bad. Sodium diphosphate, no. Color, no. Sodium stearoyl, no. Something called lactylate. Lactylate is clearly not a milk product. Here we go.
It has lact something in it. That's pretty damn close
but,
to milk.
But you know what it says here at the bottom? It says at the bottom, not a source of lactose. So that means there's no actual milk in this, right?
That's what that means.
That's not going
to
go
well,
bad.
Well, something has to expire because it has an expiration date.
This product is non-dairy, lactose-free, and cholesterol-free.
What are you reading?
Coffee Mate. I'm reading the back of the Coffee Mate. Sarah claims... Here's
is it
the
that
thing.
Slow?
This is what really... Yeah, there's no news happening today. Did you ever listen to the David Brenner syndicated show?
No.
No one did. I did. And he used to have this bit called Stump the Hand, in which he was holding something in his hand, and he would read off the list of ingredients one at a time throughout the show, and you had to call up and guess what the product was.
That's an interesting bit.
In the days before... Really?
Yeah, I like that.
In the days... It was sort of charming, but dull. In the days before Google, it was actually pretty challenging, too, because he'd go, I'm David Brenner, you're playing Stump the Hand. Next ingredient is sodium stearoyl. And then people will call up and go...
That's very good.
People will call up and they'd say, is that a bar of soap? No, it's not a bar of soap, but that's a good guess. Thank you, sir. Stump the hand. Polysorbato 60 is the next ingredient. And that was it. And that would go up for like 3 hours. It was like playing high-low. I mean, it was like a living hell on earth. So his show, now gone. But so Sarah has this coffee that she's drinking with this coffee made in it. She believes that it's rotten, and so of course...
I don't believe it's rotten. Something tastes off, which is why I wanted you to check it out.
See? And again, here we are with the something tastes off or weird or bad, and you want me to drink it and or smell
it. Well, now you're supposed to refrigerate that crap, right?
Well, but why? That's my question.
Well, if you don't, maybe something in there, maybe there's this one thing that does go bad.
Well, the water goes bad. I don't think there's anything. I think the refrigeration is a scam, and I think when they say the expiration date, I think that is just an inducement for you to buy more.
You know why you might be right? Because if you ever get Coffee Mate at like a donut shop or something,
it's
they
never
have
refrigerated.
They have the little things, the little tubs of them.
Those
are never refrigerated.
The little things. I know what you're talking about.
The little containers.
What are those called? We need a name for those things. Everybody knows what I'm talking about.
It says on it to shake well.
When you go to Denny's and they hand you the little saucer that has a bunch of those little containers of it, we need a name for those because there is no name for that kind of container.
Little Coffee Mate udders.
Now, little udders. Now we've become the David Brenner Show. We need a name for the little packets of Coffee Mate. There are no names for this product, but everybody knows what I'm talking about. All right. Rick, maybe it's the holiday Coffee Mate. Santa's cinnamon ass flavor. By the way, Coffee Mate will absorb the flavors of your fridge, he says. Oh, that's no good. He says, I keep a container in my work fridge, and I've noticed that... This is an email now from a listener. He says, I keep a container of Coffee Mate in my work refrigerator, and I've noticed that when the Korean guy puts his rotten fish medley in there, everything smells like rotten fish medley for the next year. Tony in the Couve. There you go. There you go. So, there you go, Sarah.
You taste it?
No, I'm not going to taste it. It's gone bad. All right, Jim Roop, how's your day going?
Great. The O.J. Simpson thing's canceled.
I know, man. I'm bummed out about that.
I was going to watch it.
Well, of course. Well, Sarah and I, we didn't have an argument about it, but Sarah, it's not so much that we had an argument about it. It's just that Sarah and I are on different sides of this fence, and that she's glad that it's been canceled. And because she claims that she was not going to watch it and is happy that it's not going to happen. And my point is that it's gonna be, you know, it's gonna come out of it. It's in the can. Nothing that is on film in the can stays hidden. Ask Britney Spears about that. Anything that is filmed gets released.
Say that again.
Sorry. Are you busy playing Stump the Hand? Actually, you know, now that I think about it, that does sound really crude. You know, where's Billy? He's in the bathroom playing Stump the Hand. Hand of the stump. My thing is that it doesn't matter whether Rupert Murdoch says it's not going to come out. Anything that is on film, anything that's recorded, eventually comes out. And as I say, Britney Spears is the living proof of that. Pam Anderson, you can ask. Anything that's on film gets released eventually. So it's going to come out, whether it's on the internet. I mean...
But this is under control of a giant corporation.
Yeah, but I mean...
Kevin Federline.
Well, now, what are we talking about O.J. now, or are we talking about the Britney?
We're talking about videos that are released no matter what.
I suppose. I take it as an article of faith that anytime there's... Once there's more than one copy of something in existence, it's just a matter of time before it's on the net.
Well, I agree with that. Somebody will get a hold of it and post it.
Yeah. So... Anyway, and I don't know whether this is just that Rupert Murdoch is saying it's never going to come out or whether he's just saying that News Corp isn't going to put it out.
Isn't it his production?
I don't...
Or is it a Judith Regan thing?
I don't really know the answer. Maybe he's... I don't really know that as known right now, because our thing was... Maybe News Corp was going to show it. They were going to be the distribution channel, but who knows? It might actually...
They're the ones that are saying the book's not going to be released either.
Maybe that's true. Maybe I had sort of thought that maybe it was a third-party production, that it was owned by a third party but was simply going to be released or distributed by them. I mean, who knows? It remains to be seen. Anything like this that is banned, though, it always does seem to eventually come out on some little boutique label. Any book, any movie. You hear about a movie that comes out every now and again where, like, nobody wants to touch it. It's too hot for theaters. No distribution company wants to handle it, like that Lolita remake a few years back.
Yeah.
It always ends up coming out on some small boutique, label or some little company who makes their name on it then. So I'm just fascinated by the whole thing.
Maybe
I really
Court
am.
TV or something like that will get a hold of this O.J. thing and put Gretchen, whatever her name is, on either side of it.
Well,
Gracie Allen, whatever her name is.
I don't know. It's got Nancy Grace.
Nancy Grace.
Yeah. Well, it's got to be Nancy Grace. Boy, her head would just explode. Mm-hmm. Her head. You
That'd
know,
be fun to watch too.
Or Nancy Grace. Who's the other one? What's her name? Diamond.
Diane Diamond.
Boy, I'd do it just to give her a stroke. Man, Diane Diamond, who's made her entire career out of hating O.J. So
Michael Jackson.
Yeah, it's true. Anyway, well, there you go. So there's that, and there's Michael Richards. He's
I just got back from a news conference by Jamie Masada, the Laugh Factory.
And so what is it? Because Michael Richards, that's a whole lot of like, hello, you've reached Michael Richards. Please leave a message. What's her story?
he's saying by the time he got to the sound booth, turned the sound off, it was too late.
Oh, yeah.
Done.
Oh, I've seen
it. Here's my question that was not answered. This was Friday night. He was back Saturday to perform. And you're telling me now that he's not allowed back in this club till he apologizes to everyone.
Well, my thing is, I mean, yeah, because that's the thing is, this whole thing, and we played kind of an edited version of it earlier, happened on Friday. He came back and did another set the following night. But, of course, that was before, I think, the Internet got a hold of the story. That's where Drudge, which is where I heard about it. That's where Drudge posted it. And so my question is, I mean, it doesn't seem likely that this guy could, even if he apologized, that he could come back. It seems like the audience probably get up there and pound his ass.
Oh, some, yeah.
I mean, they're going to get up there, going to beat him into dust.
I'm surprised he made it to his car.
Look, and I mean, and look, there was a whole lot of, well, he was taunted or he was heckled or they said they called him.
You watch that video, man. He went a little too far.
No, I mean, that's my whole thing. I don't care if they called him whatever. I don't care if they sat and yelled cracker at him over and over. He went, I mean, meltdown is not even an adequate term to describe it.
Yeah.
I mean, there really is, like, no rational explanation. There is no reason he could give that would work.
You're right.
I mean,
I would love to know what was going on in his life that week before.
Seriously, like, did he, yeah, like what happened? Nothing. What happened in the 3 hours before he went on stage that
and
night?
And he just unleashed right there.
Totally.
It's like you can't hold it anymore. You got to pee. You're going to pee wherever.
Exactly. I mean,
exactly what happened.
Well, and you know, Jerry Seinfeld's got to be just he's the man.
Well, he released a statement too.
Well, yeah, because man, Jerry Seinfeld's got to be looking at his bank account right now, just waiting for those residual checks to slow up a little bit. I mean, it seems like it's very definitely going to have a career on have an impact on Michael Richards' career, obviously, or whatever kind of career he had. And the Seinfeld thing is Seinfeld's going to be hurt a little bit by this, obviously.
Yeah, this is worse than this is a lot worse than the Mel Gibson thing.
Mel Gibson's got to be just looking at the sky, going, "Thank you, Jesus."
Exactly.
I mean,
he's the only one that's going to send Richards a Christmas gift.
Really, this makes the Mel Gibson thing look so light and comical and ridiculous by comparison.
And the Gibson thing's not on tape. Well, it is on tape. We're never going to see it because it's part of the sheriff's thing. But this is in your face out there on TMZ, on Drudge, everywhere. It's just all over the place.
Yeah, it's a good day to be us.
It is, baby.
And then, so we got a trifecta. We got the OJ thing, we got Michael Richards.
And the Nintendo Wii.
The Nintendo Wii, but, like, nobody cares about it, right? There's a whole lot of nothing. Do you realize how little news coverage there was? Like, everybody was spent from the PS3 thing.
Yeah.
And so everybody was like, and there's the Nintendo thing too.
And some guy got beat up for his PlayStation 3 the other day here. Last night.
But did anybody get beat up for the Nintendo?
No.
There you go. That's right. Nothing. If it's not worth being beaten up for, why own it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Seriously. I mean, it's, you know, doesn't matter. All right. Well, there you go. And there we are. Hey, did I tell you about our biggest blank of blank?
No.
All right, so here's the thing. You should something to be thinking about. You don't have to have an answer about this today. It's just something to think about.
You were trying to figure it out the other day when we were talking.
That's what I'm saying. So if you brainstorm anything, you have any ideas about
it? You don't have it yet.
No, I got nothing. We got the biggest blank of blank. And we've had biggest ball of underwear, biggest ball of Band-Aids. We had
all the regular stuff, biggest ball of boogers, biggest ball of belly button lint. You got all that stuff.
Belly button lint, yes. Let's
stuff down there.
Oh, we had this. What else? Let's see. Somebody wanted us to, let's see, biggest pile of gently used pornography.
Longest unbroken strand of snot.
Why would you say that? Largest statue of PBR containers. We got a lot of Pabst Blue Ribbon drinkers in the audience here. Yeah, biggest statue, biggest pile of empty Pabst Blue Ribbon cans.
All right.
Let's see. World's biggest martini. What else? World's largest.
The martini one's better
pyramid.
Than everything else.
I like the world's largest martini, but again, it seems so great. It has to have been done. Somebody has to have done that.
Probably in Vegas, too.
Yeah, probably. So anyway, so just be thinking on it. So anyway, so there you go. So do you suppose tomorrow we're going to have, I don't know, we're going to have additional, what is your prediction right now on this OJ thing? Do you think it's going to end up being seen somewhere, or is it just going to fade away?
Somebody will, in 24 hours, make an offer to air it.
Well, I made an offer to air it. I just don't have any money. I have all, like, I can offer them, I can get them some trade at, like, Olive Garden or something.
Why don't you do this? Why don't you say, look, I'll air it. Because it's going to sell books, you give me a percentage of the book money.
Oh, like a
doing a man a favor.
Like a per inquiry deal.
If it does not air, the books do not sell.
If it does not air,
the books do not.
You will not
air.
Pay, and that is fair.
It won't be, yeah.
If the books do not move, the check you need not approve. There you go, right there. I had Scotty try to find somebody. He's like, if I could find whoever was in charge of this, whoever owned the actual tape, I'd put it on tomorrow if I had it. So, you know, I have no shame. Doesn't matter to me. I got no standards.
Beautiful.
I'm just trying to do my best to hold up that Edward R. Murrow tradition. All right.
You do it so well.
Jim Roop, God bless you, sir. Enjoy your California day. I'm sure we'll be talking about this in the next couple of days. So until
then, thank you, sir.
Keep your unit on you, my friend.
All right.
All right, there you go. That's Jim Roop in Los Angeles, CNN radio correspondent to the stars. Fantastic. All right. Let's get a couple of these. We'll come back. Tim Riley, Peter Carlin, et cetera. We got an answer to the coffee guy, the coffee thing in a second. John, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
What's
How
up?
You doing?
Hey.
Hey, about the Starbucks and the car seat thing.
Yeah.
Kids have to be in a car seat until they're 80 pounds, and that's like 7, 8 years old.
So why, oh, God, why would you hand an 8-year-old, though, that we had a Starbucks thing where the mom and my baby was, you know, scalded by some hot chocolate. Really, if the thing seems hot enough to scald you, why would you hand it to your kid and then drive? Especially if you've had the kid for 8 years, you know whether the kid can, you know whether your kid is feeble or not. You know what I mean?
Oh, you give it to the kid, you know, here, shut up.
Yeah, well, I suppose.
You got your hot chocolate, now leave me alone.
I suppose. It didn't really work out that way, though, so. And there you go. You don't need all your skin anyway, you know. If it was my mom would just be duct taping my skin back on me and, you know, shoving me back in there. Shut up! In the bedroom.
Well, in our day, you wouldn't get hot chocolate and there were no Starbucks.
See, listen to how we've instantly become old. Just here in the last 45 seconds of this phone call, we've become old.
Well,
God bless you, sir. Thank you, John.
Thanks.
All right, there you go. That's John. Ethan has an answer in the coffee. Ethan, hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. How's it going, man?
Now, it says Ethan the coffee guy.
Well, yeah, that's what I've been doing for a living for the last 8 years.
All right, so you know from coffee. Oh. All right, so Sarah,
The liquid version of Coffee Mate does, in fact, need to be refrigerated after opening.
Okay.
And I've got chunks of green mold in some of our Coffee Mate creamer machines to prove it.
Fantastic. The best part about that is... And
it was refrigerated, though. It has been in there.
Well, and I'd like everybody
to... It is refrigerated, but once you remove the refrigeration away from it, then it just starts... There's sugar in it and stuff, too.
I would like to remind everybody of this, by the way. Think about this the next time you're at one of our finer convenience stores, and you go to one of those, you know, because some of the fancy convenience stores, they got that big Coffee Mate machine where you push the button and it spits it into your coffee or whatever. Think about those green chunks of mold the next time you're doing that.
They're awesome, man.
It's inside where
you
can't
see
it.
Up, too.
Yeah, I can imagine. So this...
It could also be the eggnog.
Hello? Hello.
I think he's speaking to us in code.
Hello. And he's gone. All right. Well, now we'll never know. Rick? Yeah, never mind. Let's see. I've got some rather crude guesses as to why the eggnog may sound bad, but not fit for the air. 503-733-2970. I would suggest avoiding the clam chowder. 503-733, think Ed Kowalczyk. All right, tell you what, we can take a break here. We'll come back. Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. What else? Then we have Peter Carlin for the Oregonian. We'll talk to him about OJ because it's what we do today. And so forth. You stay there. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up at the top of the hour, we got Tom Likas, followed by Don and Mike at 7, followed by John and Jeff at 11. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio. Here's David Allen Coe.
She got run over by a damned old train.
All right. Hello. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Thanks for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. Just a moment, we'll go to the Ministry of Truth with Tim Riley. Peter Carlin coming up later. And don't forget, we're going to be here. Well, Sarah's going to be gone. Our good friend Kristen Bowie will be here. But Tim Riley, Scotty J, myself, a cast of thousands will be here. We'll be here all week. And Thanksgiving, I believe Clyde is going to be in here making burger cake. We'll have to figure out what else. I think we've moved beyond tofurkey, but I think we might have corn again this year.
Oh, corn is so good.
I just had some last week in rehearsal of Thanksgiving.
Everybody loves corn. Now, is corn made by Morningstar, or is it a different product?
No, it is a different company.
No, I just had their chicken cutlets.
The corn or the Morningstar?
The chicken, the corn one.
Yeah, corn is
so
really good. I was trying to explain corn to Susan Reynolds, saying that it's a turkey, but it's made out of a fungus.
Right.
You really wouldn't know the difference, though. You do the taste test, you wouldn't be able to tell the
difference. The texture is just... It's so great.
It really is just like... So we'll have some corn and some burger cake, and we'll figure out what else. That's happening this Thanksgiving here as we are alive. Rick, you're showing your lack of useful intelligence about Coffee Mates. If an ingredient list has something that is hydrogenated, it has oil in it, and the oil eventually goes...
rancid. Thus the expiration date and the refrigeration. So there you go. So maybe you're drinking rancid oil, Sarah. And if,
the packaging is nice, though.
You really did miss a fantastic moment during a break, though, when I asked what eggnog was made out of. And Tim and Sarah in unison said egg and nog. And that's it. No one really knew. All right. Rick, what about the world's largest container of pennies? When the goal is reached, we get a couple dozen coins to our machines and have us a good old-fashioned public countin'. We then use the money for the world's largest kegger, or we use the loot to have AC/DC play the next listener party. You're welcome, Wendell. That's not such a bad idea, actually. And we say that it's for the children, and then we just buy beer and rock and roll with it. Fantastic. We'll get Peter Carlin in a moment. This is Kim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Kim Riley.
Hollywood tongues are wagging. It started off as a whisper. Now it's getting louder. Everyone asking the same question. Is Lindsay Lohan cutting herself?
Fantastic.
There are fans alarmed at photos of the Mean Girls star that have been appearing online and overseas, showing what seems to be scars on her wrists.
And by alarmed, we mean amused.
The headline-making actress has been wearing casts and armbands on her wrists lately. But after the World Music Awards, she was photographed, well, with what seemed to be old and new cuts, as well as a burn in the shape of the figure eight. The arms are the most common place of self-injury, says self-injury expert Jan Sutton, who has written two books on the subject entitled Self-Injuries. Some of the scars are fresh, and just above those are a number of injuries that seem to look older. These are called keloid scars, and they're just beginning to disappear. It'll be difficult to argue that this is an accident because there were just too many scars.
Her other books, I Am an Attention-Seeking Whore, and Why Doesn't Daddy Love Me the Way He Used To?
Paris Hilton turning heads at a party when she got into a four-letter word shouting match with singer Charlene Spiteri.
Who?
Spiteri.
Yep.
This is my pizza!
The partying heiress sent onlookers when she accused the Texas warbler of throwing ice at her and called Spiteri a bleeping ugly idiot. Spiteri, who apparently was not one of the ice throwers, gave it as good as she got. She clenched her hand with a fist and shouted back, bleep off! I'm not scared of you. The two reportedly were pulled apart by Hilton's bodyguards, and the party mouth partier turned on one of them allegedly shouting, why the bleep don't you stop this?
Yeah.
You saw them throwing ice. Why are you here? Can't you see what's going on, you bleeping idiot?
Fantastic.
Time for Hick Watch.
Here's your Hick Watch for Monday.
Copenhagen makes me feel so good. Copenhagen, the way I know I should. Why put a little chew in my mouth, go spitting, slobbering all around the house. Copenhagen makes me feel so good.
You know that we have an indoor smoker's lounge here at the Coin Building?
We do.
I just saw it.
If you go to the second floor, because we are on the mysterious third... Well, we're on the third floor, but there's a mysterious second floor that you go to. Yes?
I thought that we were on the third floor, and that was the mysterious second floor.
That's what I just said.
Yes.
Oh.
Not that I meant.
Moving on. Yeah, no.
I thought you just said we're on the mysterious... Okay, I'm confused, because I don't even know where we are. Because I feel like I went up in the elevator.
This is not so mysterious third floor.
We're on the third floor. You come in on the first floor. There is a mysterious Diagon Alley-like second floor that you can only get to via the elevator. You can't take any stairs. It's like the Winchester House. Mm-hmm. If you try to take stairs, the stairs go right to here.
It's a secret entrance behind the bookcase.
It is really bizarre, though, because if you walk in on the first floor, which is the Quiznos entrance...
Yes.
You look, your eyes go up, and the next floor is us. And yet you get on the elevator... And we're the third floor. There doesn't seem to be any room for a second floor. But you get on the elevator, and you know what it is? It's like being John Malkovich. It's like floor 9.5 or whatever. It really, there is a mysterious second floor that you can only get to on the elevator. But I have no idea where they put it. Because the distance between the first floor and the third floor is only like 15 feet. Or something. I mean, yeah. It's that. It is really creepy. I have no idea how it works. Like, there's some weird wormhole in the galaxy or something. But that bathroom is fantastic and smells of oranges.
It does.
And then there's a smoker's lounge there, which is kind of weird.
It has, like, this kind of glass that you can't see their embarrassment of smoking.
You can't.
It is. It's like that frosted glass. Isn't it?
It's like it's like at the free clinic. It's just sort of a frosting over there, and it's just a back door everyone can leave
and
for.
Then right across there is some private club for members only.
Yes. This is an exclusive club. All right, here's that, Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, tis the season for turkey and turkey mishaps. A mobile home burned to the ground. In New York Friday, after a man tried to defry a turkey, accidentally knocking over the bat and sparking the blaze, firefighters in Hurleyville said the propane fuel fryer flipped over after Stephen DeVito dropped the turkey. He was cooking on the porch of his trailer when the burnt oil ignited the vinyl siding. He escaped unharmed. His neighbors, all homeless and penniless.
No place to go. This ignited the what on his house?
The vinyl siding.
Fantastic. There you go. Vinyl siding, ladies and gentlemen, ignited by a guy deep frying a turkey in a trailer park. There you go. All right, there's your Hick Watch.
Copenhagen
makes me feel secure.
Copenhagen, the way I know it should. Well, I put a little shoe in my mouth, go spitting, slobbering all around the house.
Hey, y'all.
Copenhagen makes me feel so good.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley, world's greatest newsman. All right, let's now welcome to the... I meant to find the music bed for Peter Carlin. Hold on. Let's now welcome to the...
The laughing stopped abruptly.
No, that's not going to work.
Shut up! 50 years ago, you had your own time.
Welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, our good friend Peter Carlin from the Oregonian. Hello, sir.
Yo.
Hey, what's up with you, brother?
Just... more of the same, I guess. It's all O.J. all the time.
Man, it's all O.J. Well, it's all O.J. when it's not Michael Richards.
Yeah, Earl Kramer, man.
Boy, man, did you watch the video?
I did.
It is... Sarah still hasn't watched it. We were talking about this morning, and I said the same thing to her that I said to a lot of people, which is you read the news story, and you think to yourself, well, okay, so maybe he was taking it back Lenny Bruce style. Maybe he was provoked or whatever, but then you watch the video and it's so much worse than you imagine.
Well, you know something? I feel like I didn't get the sense that he's like a stone racist and it all came pouring out. I mean, maybe he is. I don't know. I always like to think. I always kind of give people the benefit of the doubt.
Oh, see, I never do that ever.
In that case, I mean, because. I don't know why I do. I mean, the thing is that I think he's kind of an idiot. I mean, I just think, and I've thought that for a while, because I think part of the reason why he hasn't ever really succeeded post Seinfeld is that he was perfectly matched for that. It was just a beautiful role for him, and he did it just splendid. I mean, he was incredible on that show. In many ways, made that show, and yet. Whenever you see him on, like, a documentary or something where he's being interviewed as him, or, like, in the interviews that accompanied Seinfeld, he was always, I think, what you would call a dick. I mean...
what your people call maze.
Yeah, exactly. There was always this very just sort of diva-like, thin-skinned, short-tempered, angry, and not nearly as funny as he thinks... you know, in the things that he would blurt out. I mean, I remember there was one, like, documentaries about other people where he would be called, and there was one Andy Kaufman movie about Andy Kaufman, and he was talking, you know, just talking about his memories or whatever. And he had created some sort of, like, comic set piece where he's lounging, you know, sort of on the sofa, and then as the camera gradually pulls back, you realize he's in a furniture store.
Right.
It's like, so? It just isn't funny. And I'm sure, like, you know, he dragged the whole crew there, and he thought it was going to be hilarious, and... you know, and also in a lot of the outtake scenes from Seinfeld, when if you go get the DVDs and you see their bloopers and stuff, people would laugh. He would get like steadily more and more furious with his fellow actors. You know, like especially I think Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who had who had more frequent cases of the giggles than other people, and you would see him just beginning to slow, you know, to blow his top. Just because I think he felt like, oh, you know, I'm a serious actor and you're breaking my concentration type of trip.
Well, that's the worst, too, is when it's when, and here's the other thing that I think drives a lot of these guys. I had a friend of mine, a friend of mine whose dad was a shrink, and he never revealed any names, but he said that he did treat a lot of celebrities.
Mm.
He said that there was a lot of celebrities that he treated, and he said that, and I was like pumping him, but I'm like, well, come on, tell me. Tell me what you hear.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he obviously would never reveal anything specific, but he did say the single most common problem the celebrities had was they were terrified that it was all just luck, that they really didn't have any talent, they really didn't have any skill, and if whatever they were doing was to go away, that it was all a crapshoot, that if they had to do it again, they wouldn't be successful, because it was all just a cosmic, you know, luck of the draw.
Sure.
And that's got, I mean, that with a guy like, with Michael Richards, who's tried to do several things now, post-Seinfeld, none of whom have gotten any traction, he's got to wake up every day just going, this is it, I'm not really that funny, and every day he's got to feel like he's just being exposed, as you said, just kind of an a-hole who got lucky.
What were the several things? I remember the Michael Richards show. What else was there?
Didn't he have some breakout movie where he was trying to, I don't know, some movie where he was, it's escaping me now, I can't remember, but it does seem like he had some feature film that was supposed to be his sort of big comedic role. But maybe not. Maybe I'm just making that up in my head. Who knows?
It could be. It just came and went so quickly that it didn't register a blip.
Maybe. And I mean, you know, and there was all the sort of rancor initially about the profit sharing from the DVDs.
Well, sure, that was understandable because it was like, you know, a huge part of the success was the other actors, and why does Jerry need $400 million? I mean, why can't he accept $300 million and, you know, ladle out a little for his buddies who are up there on stage with him every week?
Why, Seinfeld's got to not be too happy about this.
Yeah, there was a quote from Seinfeld. He's just sort of like, oh, my God. You know, on the one hand, you know, this one friend of mine, a really smart guy, a writer who was a TV critic and is now doing some other stuff, has been trying to get a Whatever Happened to Michael Richards story going. Because
right.
He's hooked up. He's pretty well hooked up in Hollywood, and he knows it's like people in the industry are all like, "What?" And this was before today's news. But it's like, what happened to that guy?
Right.
It's like, you know, what does that illustrate? That you could be that important a part of such an important show and then vanish completely? Like, does he not want it anymore? Like, is he not working? Does he not want to work? I mean, or does he? Will nobody hire him? I mean, what happened to a guy like that?
Well, you know, it's weird that, like, I will, like, you'll watch, like, Dinner for Five and a lot of those shows, and it's, you know, there'll be guys who are not, you know, not Kramer huge, but guys who have solid roles on television shows, or they have really prominent roles in movies that do well.
Yeah.
And then you'll see an interview and like, well, what's up with you? Well, I'm going to this audition tomorrow trying to get some part in some movie, but, you know, and then it's like, well, what happened? Well, a guy beat me out for it, you know, and it's like the mercurial nature of show business.
Oh, it happens, man.
As illustrated, you know, that's why that character of drama on Entourage is so great and painful.
Yeah.
Because there's that great line, the one line in Entourage, which I think sums up the television industry better than anything other, to my understanding of it, which is where Turtle is talking to Drama, and he says, hey, whatever happened to that sweet motorcycle you used to have?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I had the hock at the Michael Madsen after a bad pilot season.
Yeah.
And that right there, that's the whole thing, you know?
Right.
That's the whole thing. And you're right, man. But again, maybe it is just right guy, right time, right place, and the role that just happened to be perfect for him.
Well, you know, and it's not like he's... It's not like he's incapable of doing it again. It's not like he's some, you know, autistic dude and that's the one thing he can do, you know. You know, nothing against our autistic friends. I mean, but all I'm saying is he's an accomplished actor. I mean, he's very good in that role. He's very good. But I think also one of the things is that you maybe get a little corrupted and a little twisted by being that famous.
Sure.
For that, you know, for that period of time or for any period of time. And maybe you lose some kind of intellectual flexibility or the ability to take the risks or you know, create on a level that led to that character. You know, maybe you begin to take yourself so seriously. And you see that with a guy like Eddie Murphy, for instance.
Oh, yeah, totally, yeah.
He was
yeah.
brilliant for, you know, a few years there, and until his reputation and, you know, caught up with him.
I would say that Eddie Murphy is the single biggest, in our lifetime anyway, represents the single biggest artistic decline, certainly of a comedic actor, more than anybody else. I mean, you talk about from how good he was to where he is now.
Yeah.
And I think he represents the single biggest fall off in talent and waste of potential.
But then there were
period.
A couple movies there, like in the late 90s, early 2000s, Bowfinger and and the first...
The first Nutty Professor.
Where he was fantastic.
He was great again. Well, that's what makes it so frustrating.
Yeah.
He was great again for a moment, and then, you know, and then it just then he just got so off there. He just surrounds himself with the wrong advisors or people who say, yeah, that's brilliant, Eddie. Sure, sure, whatever, Eddie. Do Clumps 5, Eddie, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it's like we have this, and I'm really not bringing this up just to play it again, but we have Connie Chung.
Hey!
You know, that right there?
Yeah.
I remember watching that whole 3.5-minute audio clip with my wife,
right,
who said, she looked at me, she said, why would Connie Chung, who was a newswoman, why would she ever do that?
Well, you know, when I worked at People back in New York, they have all these pictures, like blown-up pictures on the wall from articles, you know, celebrities.
Right.
Well, a lot of them were really beautiful and cool, just iconic portraits, you know, that were really fun to look at. And then there'd be pictures of, like, you know, Connie and Maury, like, having breakfast in their apartment, you know, and there she is buttering toast. And you're sitting there thinking, like, why, you know, A, why would any self-respecting person do that? B, you're, like, supposedly a serious newswoman,
right,
you know? And yet, there you are in People magazine buttering your toast.
Seriously.
With your douchebag husband. And it's like... And, you know, and he, you know, and no one takes him seriously.
No, well, and I think the thing about Connie Chung is, I mean, my response when Laura asked me about that was just to say that I think that working in the entertainment industry, and I'm like on the lowest, like I'm really like right above strip club DJ. So I don't really, this doesn't really affect us a whole lot because we're just so far removed from any real kind of fame. But I think working in the showbiz industry is bad for you in a real way.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not bad for you, but I think it does change you. I think it does warp you. And I'm not even necessarily saying that it makes you a bad person, but it does. You do live in this weird non-reality.
Yeah.
And the more famous you are, the more of your time you spend, Mick Jagger has this thing where he talked, or no, Keith Richards has a thing where he talked about Mick Jagger, and he said that there's a thing called LV syndrome, which is lead vocalist syndrome. And Richards put it, as he sometimes does, very succinctly. And he says, you know, there's this thing, LV syndrome. And he said that he's, and, you know, and with that wheezing. But he said that the thing is to go out there in front of 10,000 people,
right,
and sing. He said, you know, you've got to believe that you are semi-divine when you are standing there. You've got to have big ones, and you've got to think that you are perfect and flawless,
right,
when you're on that stage. And he says, but the longer you do that job, pretty soon you're not just divine on stage, you're divine backstage at the craft services table, then you're divine in the limo, and he said, then you're divine all the way back to the hotel, and he said, eventually you're just you think you're divine 24/7.
Right.
And that's what happens to Connie Chung.
Oh, well, man, it happens. I mean, I think, I what you said a second ago, I kind of disagree. I think fame is actively, you know, you have to have such a strong, you know, will or something to keep it from tearing you, to keep it from corrupting you entirely. If, you know, and perhaps immediately.
Yeah.
I think it takes energy every day. I think to remain normal, you're actually burning physical calories, you know, straining against the tide that's pulling you into bizarro world.
I would absolutely agree with you on that.
I mean, look at somebody like even my little friend Brian Wilson, who I think is fundamentally kind of a decent guy or a nice guy, is like, there's so many things that you know, and he's been famous since he was 20, you know, I mean, and rich and famous and powerful in a showbiz thing, and besides all his other, you know, his other various problems, you know, that'll drive you insane, and you can see what happened to the rest of his family, you can see what happens to so many other different famous people, and all the different ways that you can totally lose touch with reality. And I think it corrupts you creatively as well. I mean, somebody like... you know, these guys, especially guys like Mick Jagger and, you know, maybe to some extent Keith Richards, I mean, whatever it is that compels you to be an artist, I think is actively destroyed by when your art makes you famous.
Sure, I would absolutely, yeah.
Because then, you know, because the problem is that suddenly you become public property in a way that is terrifying, I think, and people, you know, then you realize, like, you know, you remember how all those years, how horrifying what happened to John Lennon was? You know, and then 18 years later, it happened again to George Harrison, who
right.
was all but killed by that lunatic who broke into his mansion,
right.
stabbed him in the chest, you know, while he was sleeping. I mean, yeah, that happens, you know, and how did a guy like George, you know, how do you stay even remotely normal?
Well, especially, and the other thing, like with Lennon, there's that other thing, there's a thingy that scene in Imagine where that guy shows up, like, in his garden.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, he said that we're all, you know, the love you take is, or whatever it was, and he's just right. some, you know, and John... it wasn't even John's lyric, it was Paul's lyric, but it's some crap that the Beatles sang on a record and put out, and meanwhile it goes out into the world and turns some guy into a nut, or at least, you know, it warps a guy who was already nutty, so...
You're saying that about me, that was about me.
Yeah.
The dude was, like, totally out to line.
Totally. Well, I know we're a little short on time here, but speaking of craziness and just the further implosion of Western society, so you've heard undoubtedly by now that they're canceling the OJ thing.
I've heard that, yeah.
And so my question is, and maybe you know this, maybe you don't, I don't know, my question is... Is that a third-party product? In other words, is it just that Fox isn't going to put out the book or the TV show, or is it it's like that it's going to sit in a vault now and never get released because Fox owns it?
Ooh.
I don't know the end, or News Corp.
I'm going to guess that they're going to cut it loose, and OJ will be free to do whatever he wants with it.
Well, it's inconceivable that somebody wouldn't pick it up, some little fledgling network that wants some attention, you know?
You got it. Well, no, the TV show maybe... Fox Broadcasting property, you'll never see that again. Because what's her name, Judith Regan, was in it. But in terms of the book itself, I swear to God, if you're not seeing big ads for that, this is the book they didn't want you to read,
right,
you know, by, say, March 1st.
Oh, I'll be stunned. There's too much media glare. And the thing about that television show that fascinates me, and this is kind of why... I mean, for a lot of it, look, I'm not going to pretend to be holier than thou. Sarah and I had talked about this, and Sarah had said that she had no desire to watch it and wouldn't. And I said that I was horrified by it, but I would watch it, because how can you not? It's a cultural artifact.
Seriously, it was our professional obligation to watch it, which is what I was kind of loving.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that...
it's show prep, honey. I got to watch it.
Yeah, seriously. Shush. I was like, I'm sure that if I weren't doing the job that I do now or whatever, I might find it easy to miss. But on the other hand... There was, you know, I was going to watch it entirely for subtext. I mean, I assumed I was going to be writing about it too, but you just to see the quiver in his lips and the way, you know, what his eyes were and weren't doing,
totally.
How he was going to.
Oh yeah, because remember how they parsed every physical gesture Bill Clinton made?
Yeah.
With the, I did not have relations with that woman. I mean, you know that would happen with this. And my thing, and the thing that I am kind of bummed about now is I wanted to see. You talk about the ultimate, you know, collision between commerce and morality. I really, really wanted to see who, if anyone, would allow their advertisements to even be adjacent to that show.
I think that's why Fox pulled the ripcord eventually. I heard, I was listening, I was driving around right after the news broke in on Talk of the Nation on NPR. They were, you know, they have that phone-in thing, and somebody was... they were reading an email, I think, from somebody who clearly was African-American. And he or she, I can't remember now, was basically painting it like, and I think the quote was something like, you know, white people need to get over it, or, you know, whatever, that, you know, he's not guilty and that's how it is, and you keep trying to frame this guy because
right.
He's a famous, powerful black guy. And I'm just like, I'm slapping my forehead thinking like, oh my God, you know, and between that and the Michael Richards thing, it's like, does this ever go away? I mean,
no.
It's like O.J., in some ways, his being black, I mean, was the least of everything. I mean, it was all about him being famous. I mean,
right.
That wasn't about a black man getting into trouble. That was about a celebrity getting into trouble.
I think that the overriding lesson of O.J. is O.J. was rich, and so he got a fantastic defense. And the corollary to that is if you are not rich, you will not get a fantastic defense.
If you're lucky, you know, you get a lawyer that can parse the sentences,
yeah.
But I mean, he paid for enough lawyers where they could parse the,
yep.
The atoms, you know, I mean, and they could get down into, I mean, and the whole, I mean, my God, and of course his, you know, the prosecution was making mistakes left and right and doing themselves and morons that they were.
I think O.J. is the single most microcosmic cultural event in America, not with, I mean, I guess people will say 9/11, but there are so many more layers, in a sense, to mm-hmm. O.J. O.J. is American society kind of writ small. It really is. I believe that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, it's undoubtedly going to come out, so we'll... clearly be having the same discussion when and if it goes on the block. So, and you got this, the piece, is it, it's not in today's paper, is it this OJ piece you wrote?
Yeah,
is it today?
There.
It is today.
Yeah.
So, I guess we'll see some sort of update on that. We'll see if this Michael Richards thing plays out. I'm saying that he's going to be in rehab within like 30 days. He has to. It'll be a lot of, Mr. Richards is under great personal and professional stress and is currently seeking treatment for alcoholism and being buggered as a child. I mean, that's the only way you can get out of this. So.
Yeah, he and Foley will be roommates or something.
That's true.
Yeah, I know. It's a bad. And the thing is, it could just be that he's nuts, but they got to, you know. Like the rehab thing is like the get out of jail free.
Oh, totally. Well, that's it. And you know, Mel Gibson is just rubbing his hands together and cackling now. bumped off the front page of Crazy Times. All right. Read him in print in the Oregonian and online at OregonLive.com. Peter Carlin, thank you, my brother.
Hey, my pleasure.
There you go. Peter Carlin, ladies and gentlemen, from the Oregonian. All right. Take a break here. We'll come back after this. It's 503-733-2970. The Rick Emerson Show continues next. Don't go anywhere. The saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rich Emerson Show. Let's quickly get a couple of these and we'll talk to the mailman. Chris, delivery driver Dave. Hello, sir.
Hello, Rick.
Thank you. What's up, brother?
Well, you know, you were talking about your little smoke room there at the Coin Tower.
Yes.
I'm a delivery driver, and I've gotten lost in your elevator system before.
The elevator system is really strange. There's hidden floors.
It's bizarre. So anyway, I found your smoking room.
Yeah.
How this relates to us delivery drivers and letter carriers is we don't have to deal with all the ladies smoking at the dock. And it is really appreciated.
And so what?
Well, if you go to any other downtown building.
Right.
And you're a delivery driver and you pull it to the dock.
Oh, I see. And that's where all the smokers, that's like a liberal lounge.
That's where all the smokers are. So you're there huffing and puffing and moving all this stuff and in a cloud of nasty.
All right, and so this sort of isolates them indoors where you don't have to deal with them.
It puts it on an upper class.
No, it is true. It's
we
like
all
that,
benefit from it.
It's like that leper lounge at the airport where they pack them into a small glass room at the airport.
Exactly.
All right, excellent,
exactly.
Sir. Are you spreading the word to the other delivery drivers, my friend?
Absolutely. We love you, Rick.
All right, thank you, sir. You call anytime and keep spreading the word, brother.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. Thank you.
And speaking of airports, I'm going to have to, our flight's at like 1. Ugh. I'm going to have to be like fall down
when
drunk to get on that plane.
Wednesday?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got to take Laura to the airport Wednesday at like 6 a.m.
I have no qualms about it. I'm going to start drinking at 8 a.m.
I'll be sure to play Blood Rock for you tomorrow.
Rick, right. You would not do that to me.
I would. I will. I shall. I got to fly like next week. So, you know, if you're going to be terrified, I'm going to be terrified. We'll all be terrified together.
But you know that I have a real fear of it.
Yeah, but you'll be drunk, baby. Sweet, okay. Sweet liquor. Delana.
Hello.
Hi, what's up, Delana?
I was calling in for a suggestion on the biggest blank of blank.
Yes, what is your suggestion for the biggest blank of blank?
I don't know. A random idea came to me in a dream. The biggest pyramid made out of bottle cork.
Did this really come to you in a dream?
Yeah.
That's pretty great, actually, and yet also pathetic that you would dream about this program. How sad for all of us, but that is pretty great. So this would be like wine corks?
I don't know. Wine corks, bottle corks. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Just the corks out of the largest bottle cork collection. There's something there that does any alcohol component makes it a real Portland, you know, it's a real Portland vibe there.
Yeah, why not?
All right. Thank you, Delana.
You're welcome.
All right. There you go. All right, is
hey,
this... Yes?
Rick, I'm sorry. Speaking of the airplane thing, this has been plaguing me. So since you can only put liquids on the little baggies, am I allowed to bring mini bottles in my little baggie?
I say...
For
that,
liquids?
I say we find out tomorrow, right here, on the Rick Emerson Show.
That would be lovely.
Remember that question.
I will.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show.
The most one is the person in your neighborhood.
All right. Thank you. Our good friend mailman Chris. Hello, sir.
Oh, was that like a squawking chicken at the end?
Yeah, I think we've
and
got
a dog.
The, I think we've got this one too. Hold on.
A postman is a person in your neighborhood.
Let's not do that one. Yeah, that's
going to
give me nightmares.
There you go. So Aaron Geek in the city has confirmed that he is able to listen to the program every day. He does, in fact, listen to this fine program every day. So now the question is, do we want to have him call in at the top of the show and then you call in at the end? You want to split the duty that way?
That works.
There you go. And then, you know, then it's again, if one of you isn't able to do it, you know, then we can double up on a certain day or whatever.
And you calling in one time is clearly within the standards of your, and guidelines of your break.
Absolutely, because I am on my 10-minute break right now.
So there you go.
And by the way, just to clarify, thank you very much to Terry for calling in defense of me. I love that.
Yes. No,
she's a rural carrier. I don't know her personally. In the city, we don't have hour breaks. We have half-hour lunches. And the postmaster of the city of Portland has absolutely nothing at all to do with me or this situation. So please, let's not bring her name into it.
So I shouldn't get her on the phone.
Let's just not.
I'm not.
We've done enough damage, Rick. Leave it alone.
I'm not doing anything. I won't do that. All right. Excellent. Well, I got to very little today. I got to almost nothing. It's OJ's fault.
You know, you got the Michael Richards story. Yeah. You got a lot about the blank of blank. Lisa, Jim, Clyde were all there. We didn't talk about punishing the listener's brother. And inquiring minds would like to know what was in this week's Inquirer.
I know. We'll get to that tomorrow. And the Inquirer, by the way, there's one of the best stories I've ever read in the Inquirer. So, and I'm going to keep it right here with me so that no one can read it. It's a fantastic, one of the best stories we've ever had on the show is in this week's Inquirer.
You're like a crazy old lady with your Inquirer. Nobody can read it.
Nobody. Grandma's got to read it first. Stay out of my under things. So we'll get to that tomorrow. Now, we will do that tomorrow. Also, Dennis Pitchenbarger is going to be tomorrow. We'll do auto trivia for morons because we got some of those onion books to give away. So we'll do that tomorrow. All right. And so tomorrow, Aaron the Geek will call in at the 11 o'clock hour. You will be able to listen. He and I will list off things, and then you will call in around this self-same time tomorrow to recap.
Except for tomorrow.
For the love of God.
I mentioned this at the top of the show.
Oh, that's right.
You're going to have a doctor's appointment.
Fine. All right.
No, and the whole, you know, hey, I'm cutting and I need to...
Oh, it's a doc. It's a nutty doctor.
Yeah, it's a head doctor. So.
Oh, I see. So this is for your cutting kid.
Yeah.
He's
just getting in touch with Lindsay Lohan.
I was just going to say, you're Lohan-esque.
Now, it's so passe because Lindsay Lohan's doing it. He doesn't need to do it anymore.
That ought to convince him right there that anytime Lindsay Lohan is doing it, it's played out, baby.
Yeah, well, and he's kind of the anti-Lindsay Lohan. He wouldn't want to be associated with her in any way, so...
Yeah, just make sure he doesn't pick up branding. That's the other thing the kids are into, is the branding. So watch out for that.
Yeah, let's keep that on the DL.
I'm sorry, they're not into that at all. The kids are into studying and drinking milk and learning the school fight song. All right, there you go.
No, I don't think they have school fight songs anymore. They don't call them fight, they're like school cheers or school... support songs, but I don't think they can call them fight songs because you're not allowed to fight in school anymore.
School shooting song. All right. Excellent. Thank you, sir. We'll check in with you, I guess, on Wednesday then.
I'll probably, and you're at, so we add two, you're at 56.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
Talk to you later.
All right, there you go. That's Chris. Thank you, Del Paxton. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Make a note because we're back how many hours is it? It's 20? 20. Yeah, cause it's a four-hour show. 20 hours. Back in 20 hours tomorrow and so forth. Like us next, followed by Don and Mike at 7. John and Jeff at 11. And, of course, don't forget, we've added Fox Sports Radio to the overnights as well. So we go from John and Jeff, Fox Sports Radio, Stephanie Miller at 6. We'll be back tomorrow with Dennis Pitzenbarger and a cast of thousands. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. Tim Riley is the news director. Scotty J is the PA. And the manager of the Rick Emerson Office East is Dave Zinn. We want to thank Clyde Lewis. He's at the Ground Zero Lounge tonight, ClydeLewis.com, for more information. We want to thank Jim Roop and Lisa Goddard as well. This is Rick Emerson saying, now you know, and knowing is half the battle. And the bastards, and the grinding, and the down, and the hey. All right, see you all tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Be safe. Bye.